Hey, family, friends, loved ones, and new friends, welcome to the LLC. Make yourselves comfortable, relax your mind, leave that baggage at the door. Listen, those closest to me call me AR, and some call me Rush. Either one you choose is perfectly fine by me. Let me give you the who, the what, and the why behind the LLC. The who, the what, and the why is pretty simple. We talk spirituality, we talk business, we talk mental health. Most of all, let's talk about what happens every day in what I call hashtag in my zip code. In many zip codes, LLC represents a limited liability company, but where I come from, it most often represents laundromat, liquor store, church. My hope and prayer is that this podcast will be one of transparency, healing, and transformation. It is my desire to bring industry professionals and much more to your zip code so that you too can embark on a journey that revolutionizes the way that you think, feel, act, which will bring about new results in your life. So let's journey together. Life is better when it's shared. I hope you agree. Let's build some interdependency through trust and integrity. Pick your place, y'all. We can connect at the laundromat, the liquor store, or the church. So let's get it.
Hey, hey.
Hey.
All right, welcome back to my fabulous sister and coach and mentor friend, Ms. DeWanna Golden. You guys have heard from her before. Welcome back, sis.
Thank you for having me again.
Of course, of course. Thank you for being the first guest speaker on the LLC podcast. And so we kind of hinted on some stuff and touched on some areas and had a good time talking and just kind of exploring your story. But you were kind enough to say that you would share what you call your healing journey. And so I would love for others to hear this story as intimate as you would like to be with the listeners. Please feel free. I will tell people, you know, based on your personal journey, those of you listening, that this could be something that is triggering for some of you. So please be forewarned of that. But we're going to pass this microphone over to our guest, DeWanna Golden, daughter, sister, mom, entrepreneur, so that we can hear, digest, and learn from her healing journey. So, sis, take it away.
Okay. So, you know, as we talked about before, I've gone through a lot of things in my life, and being an empath, I've always operated in a space of nurturing or feeling like I could be the impetus for someone having a better life, right? Some type of healing. And I didn't know that when I was navigating my relationships. We talked about intimacy before and all of that. And I didn't realize this about myself until 2 years ago, of how I flowed with my friendships, romantic relationships. I want to start at a certain point in my life. I was about 2016, and I was in a place in my life. I had gone through divorce. I had gone through, you know, bad relationships, and I was in a place where I needed to have a change of scenery. And so I decided, and you'll remember this, bro, that I decided I was going to move. So I moved to a different state with me and the kids. And this was all, it felt like it was a point in my life because I had gone through so much. You know, we talked about the rape that I experienced in high school. And so many women have experienced that. And, you know, I had not even healed from that yet. So I was, you know, when that happened at that time, I didn't tell anyone. I didn't tell my mother until I was an adult, okay? And in my first marriage, that happened out of the shame and the guilt. And it was no fault of my own. It's never our fault in these scenarios, but we internalize these things, and that's a natural reaction. My failed marriages, I had the weight of that and feeling like, you know, I just can't get this right. And as we talked about, like, you know, we have to look back at the role that our upbringings play. And my parents weren't together. I didn't see that in the household, a husband and wife working things out, going through their day-to-day. So I had no point of reference. So the marriages. And then I have the weight of being a special needs mom. So I figured, let me move. Let me restart life. I thought this was going to be the beginning of my true healing journey. So I got to the new state. Everything was lovely. I loved it. I was excited. The kids were excited. And what we often do is we don't follow through, right? We don't follow through on what we say we're going to do. And I aborted the mission of my healing journey. And I decided to connect with someone, start a romantic relationship. And remember, I had all of these things that I was unhealed from in the first place. And so I decided to connect with someone. And one thing I do want to say is that women, ladies, even men, we have to follow our intuition. We need to trust ourselves and what we feel deep down inside. Because I can say that I had an inkling, I had a feeling that this relationship was not for me, but I didn't trust my feelings because in my head, I had made all these other bad decisions before. So that's one. Number two, I felt like, hey, you know, I have this belief that people can get better, can change, right? So I proceeded with the relationship, even though I had this intuition. And so things in the relationship happened where it was a slow, and this is all hindsight, what I'm saying and what I'm sharing. When I was in the relationship, I couldn't see it, but I hope that this story can help someone. In the relationship during the course, there were little things to beat down at the very core of who I was. You know, my mothering was questioned. I was called a bad mother. There would be things that the person would get upset about things, and I didn't know why it came out of the blue. And so, you know, I was supposed to be on this healing journey, and then this disruption happens. And me not trusting myself, I just kept going down this road to the point where we got married, right? So, like I said, all during the time, feeling a bit unsettled, but feeling like, A, because I had gone through this, catch this other thing, ladies, because I had gone through all of these things, I thought I was damaged goods. So I better be happy that someone would even want to marry me or be with me. Because I have my kids and they have different fathers, I better be glad that someone would even want to, you know, like it was like they were doing me a favor by wanting to be with me. And you can never go into something or a relationship with someone in a marriage with someone in that state of mind. But I proceeded. And to make a long story short, all of the signs that I seen, that intuition, one night I was faced with a scenario I never wanted to be in. And that emotional and mental abuse became physical abuse. And my kids were a witness to it. Okay. So, my world blew up in a matter of, I would say a year, my world blew up. And it was like my worst nightmare flashing before my eyes, because I had always said that I can deal with a lot of things. I've been through a lot, so I can deal with a lot of things, but physical abuse is not one of those things. And here I was faced with that. And it actually happened to be, bro, it actually happened to be Friday the 13th when this happened. Okay.
Right.
I was like, that's eerie. Right. But when that happened, and my youngest kids actually had to get help, and they literally saved my life because they got help. But our world changed. When I mentioned before that something happened and our world changed and we started living different, that was the point where our lives changed. And that's when my true healing started. And bad things don't have to happen for your healing to start, but because you always have things, you know, your upbringing, you have other things that happen. But this was my wake-up call that my life could have ended. My life could have ended that day. And that was my wake-up call that my kids' lives have forever been changed by witnessing that. And so I said, I have to do something different, right? I have to do something different. So there are stages and phases to healing. And you don't get there right away. You don't. My first stage was grief. Grief that things didn't work out. I felt fear. Fearful of my life, right? And what would come next. I felt anger. Anger at the person. And so, bro, you were probably one of the first people I reached out to say what had happened. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that at all?
Yeah.
And so I reached out to a few dear people that I trusted, and I shared what happened, and bro was a support to me. Other people were a support to me during the time, but it was a rebuilding phase for me. And that rebuilding phase was hard, and it was tough, and it was a lot of tears. I think for a good few months, I cried like every single day, right? But thank God I had my business. So I put myself in my business and still was able to provide for my kids during this rebuilding phase. And so when I was placed in this situation, and you have to go through all these, you know, dealing with law enforcement, court proceedings, all of these things, and you're operating in a state of fear, there came a point where I was sharing things, but I was sharing things from a place of brokenness, where I was, you know, I was focused on the person, right? The person who did this to me, the abuser. And eventually, as I was going through my healing phase, I started to say, hey, if you don't want to live life like this, you never want to experience this again. This is not how you want your story to end. What are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And that day I was like, I can't keep crying. I can't keep laying in the bed. My kids can't keep seeing me like this because I need to help them through their healing journey. And so that day is when I started to slowly start to rebuild. It was slow. It was very slow. Start to rebuild. And I started working on myself. And one of the things that I did to work on myself is to take a hard look at me, right? What are the things in the past that caused me to just go along with not trusting my intuition, first of all? And taking a hard look at some things that I needed to heal. And so piece by piece, I had to heal all of those things. I had to heal what had happened with the rape situation. I had to heal the parental situation. I had to go piece by piece to lead me up to the present day abuse that I was, you know, left to like pick up all the pieces about. And so when I did that, I began to then slowly start working on rebuilding and understanding my worth. And brother, I had another friend, we were talking, and I had actually reached out to other people, some mm-hmm. exes, just because I was in this phase of trying to understand myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is it about me that you gravitate towards, and what things kind of like repel you or that you're like scared of, right, in dealing with me? And so one of my male friends, he said, you know what? He's like, I don't understand why you select people that are beneath your worth. I don't think you understand your worth.
Right.
You know, I see you as worthy, but you don't see yourself as that. And whoo, bro, that hit me. Okay. That was a gut punch to me. And I'm like, cause I, you know, all this time we have this false sense of like confidence and worthiness, you know, I felt worthy. But I was like, yeah, there's something about my decisions and my choices. And so I started to then look at that. And I had to really start working on that worthiness piece. And that's what I did. A lot of self-reflection. And that's when I started learning about me being an empath and what types of people I gravitate towards and what types of decisions I make. And how can I protect myself and guard myself in certain scenarios? And then how can I not internalize everything to think it's my fault, right? Because it wasn't my fault. But I think that we all can learn and grow, right? There's always lessons that we can learn about ourselves. And that's what I had to do, is learn those lessons. And so it's been a long journey. It's been 4 years, a little over 4 years of going through this process of healing. And that's when I said, you know, I'm going to start living for me, not just freedom with time freedom and money freedom. That sounds good. And that's important. But I want to be a woman. I want to understand myself. I want to live in my truths. I just want to be me. Right. And that has been the piece that we were talking about, like the peace on earth for us and in life. That's what I have now because of me doing that work. And I'm still doing it. You know, healing doesn't stop. It's a continual process.
Hmm. Wow. So I just want to say, you know, thank you for sharing the transparency of that. I know you share it because you want to help others. And the person or persons who challenged you with what I believe to be real love, you know, yeah. And questions that would cause you to look inward. It's really interesting. After, you know, my short marriage and divorce, I did exactly the same. I turned inward and began to find out, what did I do wrong? What hand did I play in various scenarios and so forth? To find self-awareness, right?
Right.
But that person that asked you those questions, what is it about you that you keep attracting or looking for or being willing to accept this type of behavior or whatever you want to call it, right? I think that person loves you way more than the person who would just casually say, oh, yeah, I love you or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The person that can provide you with accountability, the person that not calls you out, but calls you up to a new level in life. I think those people in your life are very necessary. I think those people in life are really the ones that we need to keep around. Those are people that love us.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
I would love to know, and I'm sure some other people want to know, because I don't want them to get the impression that all this healing was just, you know, some superpower and you just told yourself, I can't keep crying, get out the bed, go to work, you know, because we know it's more than that. But what resources? I know you reached out to friends, so that's one of them, right? So you guys that are taking notes, reach out to people that can call you up. But what other resources? Books, podcasts, you know, whatever. What resources might have helped you start, get onto, and keep you on your healing journey?
Right. I also had a close friend who was a pastor, but knew me for very long time, and so it was still that real talk, right? But it was more of a comforting and supportive nature of that. So I think tugging on those people that do have some type of spiritual grounding help as well. I also did talk to a therapist. With therapy, I know a lot of people, they go to one therapist and then it doesn't work out and they leave and they just don't re-engage. And so I did go through some therapy. It wasn't the best fit. And so what I decided to do was then to start looking up resources online. With the therapy, it was rooted in therapy, but look up some resources on survivors, right, of domestic violence, and try to like dive into that and what their process looked like. So gained an understanding from that. Even currently right now, I'm in a group therapy collective with other women where we can share and learn more about ourselves. So I pulled on different resources throughout my time, you know. So I because of how I am, yes, I have this resilience and I can kind of talk my way through some emotions and feelings, but I also needed to not feel like I was on an island by myself and all alone. Mm-hmm. So I had to find like different areas where it was people that had gone through that. I also did Facebook groups of other survivors, you know, and I stayed in there for a little bit until I was at a certain point in my healing where I needed to transition out of that. But you tug on what you need at the time. You know, you can't go through it alone at all.
Yeah. You mentioned therapy. I don't think people, well, first and foremost, let's just talk about it. In our zip code, therapy is not talked about. It ain't acceptable. Mm-hmm. It's not promoted. And we need to fix that.
Yeah.
Therapy is not, it's not the same as Bible study.
Nope.
It's not the same as Saturday, Sunday service. It is not the same as night watch service on New Year's Eve. It's just not, right?
It's not.
It'll give you the opportunity and the space to work through some things.
Yeah.
And to get techniques to breathe.
Yeah.
It'll give you techniques to think on something and eventually not have it hold you hostage.
Right. And you get a better understanding of yourself, right? The decisions you make, what was it, you know? And so it helps you to navigate that to give you the tools.
Right.
Right. To not only navigate that scenario that you're dealing with, but just life in general. Mm-hmm. To improve your quality of life. So, I mean, and it's somebody who is not so close where, you know, so you need that kind of like neutral party mm-hmm. that doesn't know, you know, so you need that to be able to share.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, because it is a tool for sure. Mm-hmm. And tools are very useful. I don't know why we act like they're not, right? Like our cell phone, our smartphone is a tool that most people are addicted to.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to build a house or an apartment or an office building without the proper tools, right? You're not going on vacation without the tool of a passport or money or whatever. So we need to get away from the stigma that mental health has in our zip code.
Yeah.
And as you stated, I wrote this down, right? You know, you might, first person you go to, it might not be a fit.
Yeah.
You know, therapists have personalities too.
Mm-hmm. They sure
just
do.
Just like you as a client have a personality. And if the personalities don't mix, then find the next one.
Yes.
It's almost, you could say it's kind of like a courting process, a dating process. Until you find what fits and what works for you, you're welcome to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should fund and spend more money on therapy versus vices that just sort of weigh us down and allow us a temporary escape from the pain that we're really needing to, you know, unroot from our lives. So I hope that, you know, in our zip code, we can really change the way we think about this stuff. And please understand, folks, that it does not signify that something is wrong.
Not at all.
We have this crazy, crazy thought, you know, going to the doctor. You only go to the doctor when something's wrong. No, you should actually go for a checkup, right? Like, mm-hmm. you should take your car to get the, you know, the oil change, to get the tire pressure check, so forth and so on, so that when you decide to put this thing on the road, it's more manageable. You know that there's less of a chance of some sort of breakdown. Which is where we are in life. If we take it back to therapy, we break down. We don't even know it, but that's why you flashing on everybody.
Exactly.
Somebody took your parking spot. Well, first of all, do you own the parking lot? And what if they didn't see you? But you then got out in the parking lot and you flashing because they took your spot.
Right.
Right. I appreciate you talking about the therapy.
Yeah. Because therapy is like, it's an equipping tool, you know, mm-hmm. beforehand. It's an equipping before anything, you have to face anything. Mm-hmm. So it's, like you said, it's a maintenance thing and it's important, hurt, you know, and I had to revisit the whole therapy thing and say, hey, you still need it, you know, so just in your day-to-day living. And it really gives you a level of peace to know that you have that at your disposal as a tool. Yeah.
The other thing you mentioned that I jotted down, you said you transitioned out of one type of therapy or group. And I enjoy hearing transition out for a couple of reasons. Mm-hmm. We do know, if we're honest with ourselves, that in a lot of cases, we're not trained to think up and think next level. We're not trained to think what's the resolution, what's the mm-hmm. solve. So, right, you know, everybody hear me out, right? There is some truth to misery loves company.
Right.
There is. And so I love when you stated I transitioned out, because the season had obviously changed for you.
Yes.
So it wasn't necessary for you to continue revisiting that.
Yeah.
When you were done with it, healed with it, stop looking in the rearview mirror mm-hmm. for longer than you need to, right? Yeah. Because, you know, there's that saying, you know, first time, you might have been a victim, but the next time, now you're making a choice.
Right. Yeah. Right?
So I think it's important that you would call people out, and I hope they caught that, right? But you're not obligated to stay in this place. I think that's
important. No, you're not.
You can grow up and out of said thing. So that's a great tool, the therapy and the Facebook groups, the village that you have. Anything else that might have helped you along this healing journey?
For me also, it was, I mean, like I said, just discovering who I was, right? Who did mm-hmm. I want to be in the world? And understanding that, because then you know how to set boundaries a lot more when you have a clear understanding of yourself and what you really want out of life. So that's really where I'm at now, is really understanding me, what I love. As you know and can see, and we have our conversations, I've really grown in a sense of just me as a woman, right? And just being more open with who I am as a woman. We talked about, you know, being in this whole preacher's kid and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, sensuality, sexuality, those things, oh, you do not discuss, right?
Right.
And so I had to do a lot of growing up as a woman to understand that it was okay to be like a sensual being and to enjoy certain things. And so to live in that truth now, it allowed me to also have confidence to set the boundaries, right?
Right.
Of what I don't want and what I will not welcome or tolerate. And so it's all part of us maturing when we allow ourselves to do that and to dig deep. It's not comfortable. It's very uncomfortable, but it's freeing in the end, you know? Yeah. So yeah, that's a process I had to go through as well.
Excellent. Well, I think we've tackled a lot, and I know we've touched on a lot for other people. So there is absolutely no intention for me to do anything other than share myself, allow guests to share themselves, and be a resource for people in our zip code, right? So there's a book that helped myself, my household, my squad. It's called Worthy, and the author is Nancy Levine. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing, but that book that's probably the most challenging book that I've ever read. I read it in 2021 last year, but I highly recommend that to people. I'm not recommending for her to be profitable. I don't know the lady. but it's a resource, and I want to help people, right? So if you can, as you did on the last show that you joined us, can you give the folks where they can find you on social media? Where can people find you?
Okay, so you can find me, and specifically I want moms to connect with me at Dawana Golden. That's my business page on Facebook. You also can find me on Instagram at Dawana Golden as well. Because I think it's important for us to connect and share and just be transparent and create that space of, you know, just being open and being able to know that we're not alone. So connect with me there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely not alone. There's always going to be someone somewhere. And I encourage you, please go find some way to do self-care. Let's not just make it cliche. It doesn't have to be expensive. Go sit in a park and stare off into the wilderness for a minute. You know, that's free. If you can, find a therapist. I told my therapist and a sister friend of mine, your therapist is like your best friend who is legally bound to never say anything. They can't say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the best person for you to get comfortable with. So y'all don't be feeling it. Probably need to put someone in. Anyway, all right, but I'm just kidding. So listen, as I stated on the last episode, my sister, I definitely want to continue giving you your flowers. In the scheme and the theme of this podcast, Laundromat, you know, liquor store, church, I definitely think you took us to the laundromat, which is a place of healing and cleansing and restoration. So I thank you for that, and I love you, Dawn and Golden.
And
as always, if you need something from me, folks, you can reach out to the show and so forth. I have a few resources. I don't have them all. I am not a therapist. I just happen to be sharing my story in hopes that it will encourage someone. So with that, we appreciate you guys taking time out of your busy schedule and listening to what we have to say. We look forward to spending some more time with you at the LLC podcast. Take care, y'all.
That's it, family. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you learned. I hope that you can take something away from the LLC. I hope that we can change our zip code. I hope that we can do better than a laundromat, liquor store, and church. I hope that we all end up having real LLCs, businesses, entrepreneurship, all that good stuff. I wish you nothing but God's best for your life. You can contact the show at idefinemyzipcode@gmail.com. Until then, you guys, let's get it. We'll be right back.